Brad Caputo. And the radio voice of the Detroit Tigers, Dan Dickerson.
This one is gone!
On Tigers Radio, 97.1, The Ticket.
Hey, 248-539-9797 is the phone number. Pat Caputo along with Dan Dickerson. And,
Hi, Dan, Pat.
I'm doing well. Situation with Victor Martinez appeared pretty dire, and ultimately it didn't turn out to be as much of a problem as people thought.
The obituaries came out quickly, didn't they?
Yeah. And
but, I mean, it did. I have to say, it worried the heck out of me. It really did, until they got the good news today that it's probably on the short end of what could have been 4 to 6 or 10 to 12 weeks, and it looks like it's going to be the 4 to 6. And by just talking with people who are familiar with this, and it sounds like, Pat, it could easily be he's back on the field in 4 to 5 weeks playing baseball. Let's call it 6 weeks. That still gives him 2 weeks to get ready with at bats for spring or for the start of the regular season, which is 8 weeks from yesterday.
248-539-9797 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you today on this. It was great news. I looked at the Tigers the way they set up for this year, and look, everybody talks about things they don't have. You know, the bullpen wasn't very good last year. The range defensively lacking in certain areas, some balance issues, not enough left-handed bats and all that. But people forget what they do have, and they have starting pitching still. Without Porcello, without Scherzer, and even with Bister gone from last year, they've still got terrific starting pitching. They should. And also, they have these two guys in the middle of their lineup, one hitting third, one hitting fourth. And the other teams just don't have that. And both of them look like, wow, they're not going to play opening. Now, that could very well happen.
Right.
But it doesn't look...
It is surgery. Anytime you hear the word surgery, I think you always have to realize it could be longer than 4 to 6. But right now, that looks like the best-case scenario, and it looks like that is the time frame. And that's great news.
So it's going to be a lot easier to ride the... You know, George Kelly used to always say, ride the rapids, you know, with you know, whatever pitcher we would leave in there if the manager came out there and... looked like they were taking the great Tiger broadcast, the late, great George Kell. But, yeah, it looks like they've got to ride through a shorter period of rapids
right.
until these guys are back. I thought maybe the hard part would be if Cabrera didn't start on opening day, which is still questionable.
That's right.
And because he had ankle surgery, and Victor Martinez didn't start on opening day, and they had to go like a month and a half or something to stay in there until it mattered that these guys were coming
right.
back, who are these terrific hitters. Well, now... it's looking a lot better for Tigers.
And, Pat, don't you think, I think it's still something that can be debated and will be debated probably for a long time, but I do believe there is that impact, the ripple effect that great hitters have on other guys in the lineup. I don't know if you can measure it, but I don't think there's any question that when you're watching Victor and Cabrera each and every day, the way they go about their business, and just the way they swing the bat, it can make you a better hitter if you're in that same lineup. I don't think there's any question it impacted J.D. Martinez, who did make changes in his swing, no question. But I think benefited by having those guys in the lineup. I think there is that ripple effect. And if you take them out of the lineup for any length of time, it hurts.
Well, J.D. Martinez, we had him on last. By the way, Jose Iglesias was scheduled to join us but can't today, unfortunately.
He will join us next week. He
will join us next week. So, yeah, I tweeted that out that he was going to join us, but he won't. But you got a full hour of us sitting here yammering about
that's
baseball.
Better than that.
And we'd love to hear from you, 248-539-9797. But he indicated that it was a major difference for him coming over from the Astros, who were offensively challenged, and then being in a lineup with guys like that. People wondered why he turned it around. He pointed to that as a major factor. You know, baseball hitting is one of the more fickle, unpredictable things in the history of the world. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's impossible to forecast. Now, the best hitters hit a lot better than the guys who don't. But, boy, they go into some slumps that are horrific. Some guys who aren't really that good go in hot streaks. And you never know when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, why it's going to happen. But, you know, the one thing I always heard, and there have been a lot of statements about baseball that we've heard since we were kids. One of them, hitting is contagious. I mean, how often have we heard that? I believe it is. Now, I don't know whether it is or not, whether that's an old wives' tale or a urban legend or whatever, but it does seem to be that way. When once teams get on a roll, then they really get on a roll.
Just to hear JD talk about how he can talk to the best hitters in the game when things are going not the way he wants them to. And you realize they have the same struggles, but here are some of the things that helped them.
Right.
The value in that is, I'm not sure you can measure, but I do think you do see the impact on other hitters.
Now, the thing with Victor Martinez, you talk about tangible things. He had a great year last year, and it was his best year. I mean, he hit a lot of home runs. He hadn't been hitting that many home runs ever in his career. Showed it.
He's going to come back a little bit. There's no question, I don't think. Come back to more of a career norm.
He's a left-handed bat.
Right.
They don't have left-handed batters. They got Alex Avila, who goes up and down like a yo-yo. He's inconsistent, as everybody knows. And really, Anthony Gose, who knows what that is. But everybody else, right-handed. So, and Victor Martinez, switch hitter. But that left-handed side of what he does is very, very important. So, we'd love to hear from you. 248-539-9797 is the number. Dan Dickerson's here, is a radio play-by-play voice of the Tigers. Getting ready for that March 3rd exhibition opener against the Orioles, which you'll be able to hear right here on 97.1 The Ticket. And Dan will be doing all these games on Saturday and Sunday right after, man. I'll be setting you up every Saturday and Sunday throughout spring training for those games you're doing. And, you know, we'd love to hear from now. 7:25, Dan and I are going to give. You know, the Tigers farm system just gets totally trashed by everybody. Baseball America,
Keith Law.
I mean, just totally trashed. People who do the rankings on it. And I used to do the Baseball America stuff, so I'm not really getting on their case. You know, I'm a big Baseball America guy, and I like Keith Law's work for the most part. But I have to say this, that sometimes, you know, it gets a little overblown. Now, what is it? I don't know exactly. The Tigers have traded away a lot of their prospects. We're going to put out a question to you today here on Tiger Talk at 97.1 The Ticket. And the question is, of the players that are 26 or younger in the Tigers organization, who has the biggest upside? Which one of those guys is the one that you think will do well? They have several players, believe it or not, with getting trashed like they are, who are younger than 26 in that organization. Who's the best one in your opinion? Dan and I will tell you who we think. Coming up, I'll make it 7:24, so we actually have a couple minutes to say something before we go to commercial. So it's out there for you. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And I say this every week. It's like, hey, you know, you guys talk baseball. We love it when you talk baseball. It's colder than a well digger's behind out there.
Now's your shot.
This is your shot. 248-539-9797.
By the way, Pat, on that March 3rd exhibition opener, we will be playing that revenge angle up big.
Against the Orioles. You know?
It's their shot. It's their shot at revenge.
Well, you know what? That series against Baltimore. I mean, there's a team right there. I didn't think Baltimore would be like what they were last year. 95 win team.
Look, everybody's picking him this year.
You know what? I couldn't have been more wrong was Victor Cruz. I didn't think Victor Cruz was trending downward sabermetrically. He was part of that biogenesis mess. And he had an absolutely brilliant year.
And it wasn't just because of Camden. He had more home runs away from Camden.
He did. And he was fabulous. And his defensive metrics actually were better last year. So, Victor Cruz, you know, that one really surprised me.
Nelson.
Pardon?
Nelson. Cruz.
Or Nelson. Did I say Victor?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the
got
old
Victor
Tiger
on your...
guy. I say that every time. Although that's a wide receiver for the...
That's why I'm going to call James McCann Brian McCann two times this
Dan,
year.
You have no idea how many times I've called him Victor Cruz either. It must be at least a dozen times now. Nelson Cruz. But, you know, and that's a Tiger killer and everything. I said, Tigers don't want to get him. You know, this, and that. I couldn't have been more wrong. Yeah. Anybody could have benefited from that.
Yeah, 40 home runs. Usually you do.
248-539-9797 is the number. He's Dan Dickerson. I'm Pat Caputo. You're listening to Tiger Talk on 97.1 The Ticket.
Tiger Talk with Pat Caputo and Dan Dickerson on Tigers Radio. 97.1 The Ticket.
Well, I'm waiting. I texted our train this morning. I know that Victor met with Dr. Andrews earlier, and a surgery's planned for later today. And you're probably right. You know, the first, quite frankly, if we got him back after 2 weeks in April, I'd probably be ecstatic at this point. But we won't know more. We won't know more in terms of the length of time or the timetable for his return until Dr. Andrews actually gets in there, performs the surgery, and sees how severe the injury is.
Tigers manager Brad Ausmus, he talked to MLB Network today.
Pre-surgery,
and then following the surgery, the whole prognosis and everything about what it was about as good as it could be. They just had to do the shave.
The full repair would have taken a lot longer.
So, you know, I'm hearing a lot of things. Dan, you've done a lot of research on this, talking to you, and you're a fairly cautious person about these type of things. You've been around, too, and know that the best-case scenario is not always the one that comes out. But you said talking to people, you talk to doctors that have nothing to do with whatever. And,
right.
And they said that,
people in the rehabilitation field, and they say, if it's just a shaving of the meniscus, which is what, and everybody's different, but in general, shaving of the meniscus, if it's not a major procedure, and this was my understanding, arthroscopic, then 4 weeks, they see a lot of people at 4 weeks moving the way you want, full recovery at 4 weeks. So let's call it 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Let's give them an extra 2 weeks. And I still think you're talking 2 weeks to go in the exhibition season. So again, the best possible news. But my concern was, what's the aftermath? Will he be able to push off that left leg? It's his left knee. Will it affect him betting left-handed? And the people I talked to said they didn't feel that that would be the case, that he should be fine to hit. I'm thinking his catching days are over. I don't know that, but I'm just guessing that I'm not thinking him doing a whole lot of catching.
Ashley, who does the website writing for us here, 97.1 The Ticket, talked to Kevin Rand, the Tigers trainer, who said he'd probably have to wear a brace on his knee the rest of his career, his left knee. This is the third surgery he's had on the knee in different areas. Last one was an ACL, though. It cost him the whole season. This isn't like that. But I think because that happened, it set up a lot of alarms, and it happened in the same scenario with him.
Yeah, you worry.
It's off-season workout. So.
Right.
But what do you think? We'd love to talk to you. 248-539-9797. We're here for you. We can pontificate forever. But what do you think, Tiger fans out there? We'd love to hear from you. Coming up shortly, we'll talk about who we think the biggest threat to the Tigers is to win the AL Central. One magazine is picking another team other than the Tigers that I saw, and it's not the Royals. We'll tell you what team they're picking. And also, we'll get into who the best young player, 26 and younger in the Tigers organization is. Dan and I will tell you who we think it is coming up at 7:24. We'd love to hear from you on that. Again, 248-539-9797 is the number. Bill, you're on 97.1 The Ticket, Tiger Talk. What's up?
Hi, Pat. Dan, good to talk to you.
Hey.
I just wanted to tell you first, Dan, how much I enjoy your and Jim's work on the broadcast. It's as comfortable and enjoyable as listening to Ernie growing up as a kid, so I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Just really two questions. Assuming things go as planned through spring training and they come back up in April, who do you expect to see in the leadoff spot? And then who do you expect to see in terms of the setup in the closer and the bullpen?
I would say Kinsler's going to be in that leadoff spot most days. Rajay Davis against lefties. He had a huge left-right split. That split's getting bigger, by the way, each of the last few years. But I think Davis could be in that leadoff spot, Kinsler, too, some days, Pat. And I think that most days with the righty on the mound is probably going to be Kinsler. And then pick your guy in the number two spot. Iglesias seems the most logical, given the people they have on this roster or who will be on the roster opening day. I'm sure there will be others. But Iglesias, if he hits enough, to me, is a logical number two hitter. The bullpen we can talk about. But I think right now you could probably draw up seven names and be pretty accurate with it. But to me, the key is the depth with guys like Hanrahan and Zide. Will they get something from guys that are unexpected? Alex Wilson picked up in the trade with Boston. There is more depth this year. Last year I felt like it was seven guys, and when there was a need for another arm, they really didn't have much depth. This year there is a lot more depth, and I think it's key that some of those guys who are not really on anybody's radar right now outside of the Tigers – has a good year and contributes.
Yeah, I think it's important. But, you know, one of the things, Bill and Dan, I look at it, and to me, a key guy, you know, everybody talks about Nathan, to me is Soria. I mean, I was shocked at how poorly Joaquin Soria threw the ball when he was with the Tigers.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
And he had thrown well earlier in the year. He's proven himself before. Now, if he's back to a reasonable facsimile of what he's been throughout most of his career, that's a huge shot in your arm there, either whether he's setting up or closing. And Joe Nathan, you know, there seems to be a lot of confidence in him from the people within the organization. But my concern about Joe Nathan, and look, I'm not trying to be an alarmist here. And I defended this to some degree last year. But when you hit a certain age in baseball, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how much you train. Doesn't matter if you look great you know, like you looked like you did 5 years ago. And it's not that you're still not a premier athlete compared to, right, you know, Mr. Joe out there, you know, sitting around and watching baseball instead of playing it at that high level. It's such an infinitesimal difference between that little drop off will often mean the difference between you're a premier closer and a guy who can't get it done anymore. So my concern about Joe Nathan, and I hope I'm wrong, I'm not trying to, and there have been guys who've done well that have pitched over 40 years old and done things in many sports, is that maybe he hit that wall. We saw it with Torii Hunter. Torii Hunter looks just like he does 5 years ago, but he's not the same.
No, that's why I think that depth is important.
And you don't know when it comes up.
No, that's why I think that depth is important. I have no concerns about Joaquin Soria. I really don't. I know he wasn't good for the Tigers. I think he was hurt when he came here with the oblique. I'm not saying that they traded him injured, but I just think there was something bothering him because that cut fastball that he has was not there. We saw flashes of it, but his career track record is outstanding. He was the best reliever on the market at the time of the trade. I don't have any concerns about Soria. If there was a need to make a change, I'm very comfortable with him as a closer. But this is where the depth comes in. If Joe Nathan is not your closer and Soria is, you're talking about Rondon, but he's still not even 11 months removed from Tommy John surgery, and the average is 14 months. Even for relievers, it can be 14 months. That's why you need some of these other guys who are invited to camp.
What do you think of,
to step up?
Al Albuquerque. You know, I'm watching his 13-inning game last.
I like Al Albuquerque, but it's quite clear the Tigers did not have the confidence to use Al Albuquerque in important situations from the, really, 7th inning on, or 8th or 9th inning, certainly. And we saw that. And the Brad Ausmus admitted as much. And I think that's kind of a key question. Are you going to have more confidence in him this year, or will we see him? I think you have to find out. There's really not much use of a guy who might have been and was arguably their best reliever overall last year, only being a 6th, 7th, 8th inning guy when they're behind. You have to be able to use that guy to protect the lead late in the game. And you have to find that out, and I think they will try to do that this year.
248-539-9797 is the phone number. Harold, you're on 97.1 The Ticket, Tiger Talk. What's up, Harold?
Nothing much, gentlemen.
Hey.
You kind of answered my question in the talk just a minute ago, because my question was about Rondon. Has he been throwing it all, or what is he looking like?
He's looking good.
They sounded very optimistic. I have no idea.
He's in his progression right now.
Yeah, they sounded very optimistic about it. Almost too optimistic, which, you know, not to knock the Tigers or anybody else, but, man, the winter, everybody sounds like they're doing great from these injuries. So, I don't know.
He's in his progression. Everything looks good. He's throwing well. I think Dave Dombrowski said at the DSBA lunch last week, we're going to encourage him. We know you can throw 100. You don't have to throw it now. I think they really are going to be very cautious with a golden arm and make sure. And they do believe that guys from Tommy John who are relievers can come back quicker than starters. I think there's something to that. But it is worth bearing in mind, and we saw this with Joel Hanrahan, who had a forearm issue as well. It can be 14, 15 months or more. So, yes, everything looks good right now. I think you have to keep that in mind.
248-539-9797 is the phone number. Coming up next, what Tigers young player, 26 or younger, is the one with the best upside? You know, the Tigers organization, their minor league season, they traded a lot of guys. But it's getting hammered by the experts, the so-called experts. But there are some players there.
And every year they seem to be able to trade some of those young players to get proven major league talent.
It's like everybody wants their guys. So, you know, who's 26 or younger still in there that you think has the best upside, the one you think is going to be the best?
We'll also throw some names out.
Coming up next, the team is predicted to win by one of the magazines that's come out. To win the American League Central, it's not the Tigers or the Royals. We'll tell you what team it is, and Dan and I will look at the American League Central coming up next, and tell you what we think about it. Love to hear from you. 248-539-9797 is the phone number. He's the radio play-by-play voice of the Detroit Tigers. That's Dan Dickerson. I'm Pat Caputo, and you're listening to Tiger Talk at 97.1 The Ticket.
Tiger Talk with Pat Caputo and Dan Dickerson on Tigers Radio, 97.1 The Ticket.
They've really improved the defense up the middle. Jose Iglesias is going to be back from that shin injury. He's supposed to be 100%. So that improves the defense in short. They made the trade with Toronto, brought in Anthony Ghost. He's a gold glove caliber center fielder with tremendous range, which, as you know, is extremely important in that ballpark. So the defense is going to be a lot better.
Tim Bodden from ESPN, the former Cincinnati Reds and Washington
Nationals. And it's worth repeating. I think it is one of the kind of quietly biggest improvements and significant improvements that the Tigers have made, assuming Iglesias' health and Ghost can play center field like we hear he can from those who watched him in Toronto. Strong up the middle and the defensive improvement. Again, they get back to average, just average, in terms of runs saved. That could be 4, 5, 6 wins.
Yeah, I agree about Ghost. We talked about this. I watched Ghost play quite a bit, actually, last year. So he's a far better speed type. He has more influence with his speed and defense than what I think Tiger fans thought. He's also younger. He's only 8 months older than Travis, the prospect that they traded. And he actually was a top 100 prospect in the top 40, I think, in Baseball America. Maybe a year or two ago. So Anthony Ghost is better than people think.
Bottom four teams in defensive runs saved. This is from the Bill James handbook, which I advocate every single year. It's a terrific handbook. You can dive into that baby and not come up for hours.
Literally.
Bottom four teams, Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, and Minnesota. They're all from the Central in the major leagues, not the American League. In the major leagues, I think Detroit has made significant improvements, again, assuming Iglesias' health. I don't think the other teams have. Chicago has not for all of their improvements, and that's a much improved team. Have they gotten better defensively? No, absolutely not. Has Cleveland gotten better defensively? They added Brandon Moss. I don't think so. They got better at short by trading Asdrubal Cabrera last season. But again, I don't think they're going to be significantly better, even though they talk about they're going to emphasize it more. So that to me is a key thing. You're talking about, I think, probably the two teams that I worry about the most in the Central. KC, too, and they're the very best, obviously, in the Central. But I think that separates the Tigers, at least in that category, from Cleveland and Chicago.
Well, who are you? Who do you think is a bigger threat? Biggest threat?
Cleveland.
You gonna go with Cleveland?
And I start with the rotation. Think of Chicago. For all their improvements, they were outscored by almost 100 runs last year. And if they want to win 90, that means they would have to increase their run scoring pretty significantly and trim their runs allowed by about 100.
Right.
That's a pretty big. It can be done, but that's a pretty big shift in 1 year. No question they got better. I think that lineup has a lot of question marks after the top four because I'm not sold on Abisail Garcia being a number five hitter. I think they've got a terrific lineup 1 through 4, question marks after that. Very good starting pitching 1 through 3. You can even maybe go 4 depending on who's in that number four spot. But I think Cleveland, because of their rotation, Salazar, Kluber, House, was very good last year. They added Gavin Floyd, who might take House's spot. Bauer, I think, is very good. And Carrasco was dynamite. And that's 1 through 5 could be the best rotation, arguably is right now on paper, and I think that's big because they've got a good bullpen to go with it and a pretty decent offense. Decent offense.
It's Samardzija Robertson, I think, is important for the White Sox. The one thing that Abreu is a star. So they got two guys. It's kind of like that are really at the top. Could be, you know, with this injury issue with Cabrera and the situation with V-Mart and the fact that Scherzer's no longer in the division and Verlander, nobody knows how he's going to bounce back, but you still got David Price there. But you can make a case that Sale, if he didn't have a below 500 record, he might have won the Cy Young last year, is the best starter in the division.
Yes.
And you can make a case
Abreu is the best hitter.
Best hitter. So when you have that part, the reason I think Kansas City's still the team to beat because they got Salvador Perez, and they got Gordon, and those are to me the two of the best overall players in the whole thing, and their bullpen so strong.
Kane quietly one of the really good players in the American League.
And they've got a lot
of defense.
Yeah, Hosmer started to really start to come back, and Moustakas is starting to show some things, and he's very good.
He has
defense
to build on that postseason.
Yeah, absolutely. So okay, but if I were looking between those two teams, I would still take Cleveland. And the reason?
As the biggest threat to the Tigers.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, the manager.
Yep. We said it when he came to the division. This guy's an X factor. There are certain managers who are. Joe Maddon is one of those. Frank Kona is one of those.
And there are some managers who just aren't that good. So I see one manager I think is really good, and there's another one that I haven't been impressed with.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. So, you know, looking at it, that's how I would look at those two teams. Because Francona, you know, to me, I don't know what it is. I remember when he was here, he was on Buddy's staff, and he was in Philadelphia, and it really wasn't what, you know, it's kind of like, okay, he's a nice guy, he's a good guy, you know, is he a great manager? He's Boston, he had great teams, but he got him over the top. He came to Cleveland, he was like some kind of miracle worker. They're a completely different team. And last year, things didn't go well for them, and that team played their ass off through that whole thing. So I'll go with Cleveland as the threat.
I think they're key for Cleveland, and I agree with you. As I just said, I think the key is if they want to really make a run at it, get in the low 90s for wins, and I think it will take low 90s to win this division, they've got to have Kipnis back to the 2013 Kipnis.
Absolutely.
That's the
biggest factor.
And Nick Swisher has to be not great, but he has to be way better.
But you're right about Kipnis. I mean, Kipnis was terrible last year, and I don't know why.
They have to have that guy. And all of a sudden, that offense looking pretty dangerous. On a given day, he can beat you up because of Brantley and Santana. But you've got to have Swisher and Kipnis. You can't have two dead spots in the lineup like those two were last year.
And we're sitting here talking about Sale and Price and all these guys. Kluber did win the Cy Young, by the way.
and that's why so Kluber, to me, is the great example. And I love reading all the preseason publications, predictions about teams and individuals. But was Corey Kluber in anybody's top 50 last year of candidates to win the Cy Young?
No.
We knew he was a good pitcher. We'd seen him. He'd beaten up the Tigers. But in terms of winning the Cy Young, he wasn't anybody's top 10. That's why I love it, because you can get a performance like that out of nowhere. He is a fun
pitcher.
Baseball
Prospectus predicted that. I'd have to look. It's always interesting.
I mean, we knew he was good, but I mean that to me is the beauty of the sport. You just don't know sometimes.
Well, that's why I always laugh. Somebody will say, well, look at the projections of this and that. You don't know what you're talking about. Man, you can't tell what somebody's going
to
ask you.
And that's why when I did my prediction a few weeks ago, I'm trying to predict the Tigers' win totals. Where the Lions come from? I'm not sure where that came from. By predicting their value, by predicting WAR, wins above replacement. And it's a fun exercise.
You still got it at 93 after this VMART surgery?
Yes, I do, because it's the good news. without it, maybe not. But, I mean, it's a useful exercise because you try to make a prediction and you realize you're going to be off on several of these predictions and maybe off by a lot. But that's the fun of this.
248-539-9797 is the phone number. What are your thoughts? We'd love to hear from you. It's a cold winter's night, but spring training's very, very shortly.
Pitchers
around
the
corner.
9 days.
Dan's going to be calling a game March 3rd.
3 weeks
March 3rd
today.
Here on 97 won the ticket. We'd love to hear from you today. We can sit here and talk all day. Hey, we haven't gotten to the best 26
That's right.
and younger player in the Tigers organization. We'll do that coming up next. Love to hear from you today. You're listening to Tigers Talk here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Tiger Talk with Pat Caputo and Dan Dickerson on Tigers Radio. 97.1 The Ticket.
They have enough power in the middle to score enough runs, so the question becomes, back of the rotation. They don't have Scherzer, they don't have Porcello anymore. How is Alfredo Simon and Kyle Lobstein, how are they going to perform? Is it going to be enough? And then the other question that we've watched for the last 2 years, is the back end of the bullpen good enough to take them as far as they need to go? It certainly hasn't been the last few years.
Jim Bowden was breaking down the Tigers today.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. From ESPN, talking about the Tigers, former general manager. I think he's interesting.
A prolific writer on ESPN.com. That guy cranks out he's good. He does a good job.
Well, he evaluates it. It's not like he's never sat there and in a scouting meeting. You know, he knows that stuff. It's always interesting. A lot of different opinions out there. What's the ultimate for the Tigers? Is it, you know, Dan? You know, in this situation with the Tigers this year, you know, the whole World Series or bust thing. That's a question we ask Dave every year at Tiger Fest when we have our a special edition of Tiger Talk and Tiger Fest. Hey! And Dave gets out there and kind of gives the state of the team. You know, it's like about the same time as the State of the Union, and the governor gets up there and everything. And this, you know, is World Series a bust? That's what fans think. You know, you get the questions we take from fans and have them jot it down. And what do you think? Is that a fair thing to put on the Tigers or no?
No, I don't. For this reason, I think as fans, and again, just talking with fans and getting casual feedback, I think fans enjoyed last season. I don't think they didn't enjoy last season because it ended so disappointingly, because there were a lot of great moments during the season and highly entertaining games during the season. To me, and I'm a fan at heart, to me, all you can ask as a fan is your team in position to win a World Championship? And probably because of some of the weaknesses in the bullpen last year, that team was not. Not for lack of trying. But I think that's the thing that's fair to say. Is this team in position to win a World Series? And then what happens in the postseason happens. I mean, did the Dodgers do a bad job of building a team last year? Did the Nationals do a bad job of building a team last year? These were teams that won 96, 94 games, and they were done in the first round.
Right.
No. So I think, I mean, that to me is why I would say, no, that's not a fair assessment. I think, is this team built to win a World Series? Could it?
You know what I can't figure out?
Realistically, and I think the answer is yes.
You know what I can't figure out about it? I look at the Cardinals, who've won a championship in the recent years, the Giants have won three. And I look at a team like the Nationals last year, who I watch a lot, immensely talented team, big-time arms. They just got everything kind of going for them. They get knocked out. And then you mentioned the Dodgers, who I saw as having flaws. I mean, they played at Comerica Park. You saw it. They had virtually no range in the outfield. Literally, you could have just put, you know, the Globe, Golden Globe out there, the Oscar and the Grammy Award in the outfield. They have more range. It's one of the reasons Matt Kemp is in San Diego
right
now. Although he did improve the second half of the year that way after they were in Detroit. But, okay, I understand it and all that. But, man, I just can't figure out these teams that actually win the whole thing. You know, how the Royals
right
had a lot of flaws. I mean, they have
what did we
players
learn from last year? I mean, are people going out and copying the Royals model? No. And that's what, I mean, to me, that it just, it points out that it can be, I don't think people are hearing it, but it's
Phillies
true. It's a crapshoot.
You know, when the Phillies won it, but that was a while back. You know?
Right.
I don't understand this thing with the Giants.
An 88 and an 89 win team went to the World Series last year.
I saw Jeff Weaver and Anthony Reyes stick it to the Tigers in the World Series. You know, not that long ago. I mean, a guy with a straight bill. You ever look at Anthony Reyes?
What a
record
career
after
he
that
had after that.
And Weaver. Weaver didn't do anything after that either.
No. No,
he frankly
done
didn't do that much before.
No, he
it
didn't.
His brother's better. But anyway, we'd love to hear from you. Steve, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey.
Good. Dan, I have a question, but first I want to make a comment to you. It was back in the fall of 93. You were working for your sister station as a weekend sports guy.
Uh-huh.
And I called you on a Sunday morning, and this is before the internet, and I was calling to get some late night scores. And we had a great conversation Sunday morning. And I can tell you there was nobody in this town that was more happy to hear you get assigned as the Tigers play-by-play guy than me. It was great.
Oh, thank you. That's funny. That's funny. Back in the days when you couldn't check the score unless you called the radio station.
Exactly. My question for you is, what do you think management is thinking now that we've lost both Miggy and Martinez, that now we don't have DKB, no Tom Kelly? What do you think they're thinking now?
Well, I mean, again, the best case scenario, Victor Martinez is ready to start the year, and I think that's a real possibility. Cabrera, I think it's sometime in April. I don't know if it's opening day. So who plays first? Or who fills the Don Kelly role? Start with first base. I'm not sure who would play first if Cabrera's not ready. They'll find somebody. There's no shortage of candidates. None real guys that probably would have made the team if he was ready for opening day. To fill the Don Kelly role, it is interesting. They're asking Romine Hernan Perez to take some fly balls. And so they can become that super utility guy. And I do think that's something to watch. Who else in the farm system has that athletic ability to play the infield first and the ability to transition to the outfield so they can have that versatility? There is value. Whatever you thought of Don Kelly, there is value in a guy who can play five positions really well, and Don Kelly could do that.
248-539-9797 is the phone number. Joe, you're on Tiger Talk on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up?
Hey.
Hey, Joe.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Hey.
But what I was calling about was when you guys were talking about the bullpen earlier and that, and the one guy, I know he's a young guy and he's left-handed, and but I was wondering what their plans were for Blaine Hardy this year, because last year it seemed like every time he came in, he did a stellar job.
I think he's certainly one of the two lefties they're if not banking on, counting on.
I like Blaine Hardy. I agree with you about that. Dan and I, we had a spirited debate about Tom Gorzolani one of our show prep things. We were actually like really pretty animated about it and demonstrative because I was trying to show him the video thing. He refused to look at it. He said, look at Fangraphs.
His average fastball is 89.7 pass going, look, he topped out at 82 on this video I'm watching.
But, I like Blaine Hardy better than Gore Zelani. You know, he's a bigger name.
He's got a chance. I mean, he showed me something last year. I think his ERA was probably lower because of the number of walks. Probably lower than it should have been, but I do like Blaine Hardy. Ian Kroll is a name to keep an eye on because power arm from the left side, 24 years old. There's still upside there. He knows he had to get better with his offseason workouts, and he did.
They like Ian Kroll. They're expecting more from Ian Kroll than maybe.
This could be a big year for him. But that to me, in terms of upside of young guys, that's a guy.
Talk about the under the 26 or younger player. Which one do you think has the biggest upside you find the most intriguing?
This is what I thought was interesting. On the 40-man roster, half. 20 players are 26 years old or younger this year. That's a pretty good number. I would say most 40-mans, that's including obviously a lot of minor leaguers. But 30 are under the age of 30. So you've still got guys in their prime. This is not an old team. It is guys who are old in their 30s. But you're right, as a perception. So to me, who are the most exciting? Well, Iglesias, Castellanos, Ghost, they're going to be on the team this year. We know about them. So the guys who might make an impact, James McCann, excites me because catcher, a lot of ability defensively, has some offensive skills. Steven Moya, everybody knows about. I like him. The guy I'm going to keep an eye on because I love his story.
You got to say one, buddy.
Wynton Bernard. Now, am I saying he's got the highest upside? No. He's the guy I'm most interested in because here's a guy who came out of a tryout camp last year and ended up being the Midwest League MVP, and he's still only 23.
That's pretty amazing. I like that one. Okay, but I'm going to go with somebody who's a little bit more. He's already played in the major leagues. I think people are writing off Castellanos too soon. He's a young kid. I know his defensive range. That was alarming. I'll freely say that. But a third of his hits last year were for extra bases.
Line drives.
I love his approach as a hitter, and I think Nick Castellanos is a potential all-star. Now, that may sound crazy to a lot of people.
No.
But I think Nick Cassie, and I like his whole, what he is about. He's a ball player. I don't know how to describe that. That sounds like a BS thing. But I think Nick Castellanos is going to, and I like Ghost a lot. I do. And Moya's intriguing and all that. But I'll go with Nick Castellanos.
Look at that approach.
I very
Martinez
much like
changed
it.
His approach to what Nick Castellanos has done his whole life, which is use the big part of the field, go to right center with authority. He learned a lot last year.
He pulls breaking balls. So he identifies
power
pitches.
In that bat.
He does. There's a live bat. So I'll go with Castellanos.
All right.
Next week, 7 o'clock, Tuesday, we'll be back inside Hockey Town. It's coming up next, myself and the legendary man, Kenny Cal. Are you listening to 97.1 The Ticket?